This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. If you're just joining us, about an hour and a half ago, Senator John Kerry called the White House to concede the election to President Bush and congratulate him on his victory. Senator Kerry is expected to make a statement to his supporters in Boston in about 40 minutes' time. We're covering the results of yesterday's election. What's your reaction? What are your questions? We're using split lines today. We invite our Republican listeners to call 800-344-3893. Democratic supporters, 800-344-3864. With us here in Studio 3A is NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. And joining us now is Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Andy, it's been a long night. We appreciate your staying with us.
Happy to be here, Neil.
Voter turnout was record high?
We're not clear. It's really not certain, but it was pretty high. Whether it was record high or not, I don't quite know, and I don't want to overstate it. But it was certainly higher than 4 years ago, 8 years ago, and there was a big turnout. And I think what the exit polls suggest and what the results suggest is that while both sides did a better job in getting their vote out, the Republicans did a better job than the Democrats. And that's the story in many swing states, and I think it's the story around the country.
As we look at the issues that all of us focused on through the campaign, certainly the economy, the war on terror, the war in Iraq, yet there was a fourth issue which turned out to be a surprise and maybe more important than any of those other three.
Well, that's what the survey results would suggest on the surface, and I think moral values is an important issue, perhaps understated by the national polls and the national media and their consideration of issues over this campaign. But I also think that there's a little bit of work of art in this exit poll. I think that if you ask people, conservative people particularly, to choose as to what's more important in their thinking, is it moral values, is it the economy or the war on terrorism, there is a certain inclination to socially desirable response to say moral values. And I'm not trying to understate the impact of this issue. It was important and it was underestimated. But my concern is that we're going to come away with an interpretation which exaggerates this a bit. Now, we've done surveys where we've tested all of these questions, but instead of asking moral values, we've asked questions about abortion relative to terrorism and gay rights. And these issues are very important to many people, but in this election, they haven't rose to the same level as these big conditions. So I want to analyze this issue a little bit more before we come to the conclusions that we did last night, our initial conclusions last night, and the conclusions were things we're going to be talking about for a while.
Just to clarify, the question last night was just about moral values. Did it define moral values?
No, that's the problem. It said moral value. What was more on your mind? Was it moral values? Was it the economy? Was it terrorism? And again, I'm not trying to understate what people were saying, but I suspect that if moral values were defined in terms of specifics, we might have had a different kind of response. And to a certain extent, I think moral values also might be code.
Ron Elving, another thing that Andy mentioned and that's certainly become apparent over the past 36 hours or so, the get-out-the-vote effort, this ground war, traditionally a strength of the Democrats. We heard from a lot of Democratic strategists that, look, if we're even going into Election Day, we think that's good for us. We can get our people to the polls. Clearly, the Republicans at least matched them this time around.
Two can play at that game, and clearly two did. I was just noticing that six states set a record turnout. This much we do know, whether it's a national record turnout or not. Six states set a record, and these are the six: Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Six better states for the president would be hard to find. These are red states. They are the definition of red states. And many of the voters in these states turned out, and I suspect checked moral values among the reasons that they came out to vote and voted for George W. Bush. I suspect, too, that when they said moral values, some of them were like the caller who called and said, you know where the president stands. He's forthright. He tells you where he is. And some of them, I think, were talking about something much more specific. There were gay marriage amendments in 11 states. that were designed to ban either gay marriage or, in some cases, any form of partnership for gay couples. And those all passed, and they passed easily. And clearly, that was a motivating factor for some people who, in some elections, might have chosen to stay home or whose enthusiasm in other cases might not have been as great.
And important to emphasize, those record turnouts you're talking about, those in states where the president was never in trouble.
I think we had a moment yesterday where we were hesitating to call Virginia because the exit polls there had shown it a competitive race. In the end, it was not close.
Let's get some more callers on the line. And again, Bush supporters, 800-344-3893. Kerry supporters, 800-344-3864. Ed is calling on the Kerry line from Chicago.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that the Republicans need to be careful what they wish for, because now you've got across the board, and including soon to be the Supreme Court, where they're going to control everything. And in 4 years, when you know this deficit is in the tank, the war is spiraling out of control, you know, who are we going to be able to pin this on? So I just think that they better be careful what they wish for, because again, you know, it's going to be trouble.
Ed, why did you, you're calling on the Kerry line, why did you decide to vote that way?
I just think the direction is would be better for the country.
A change?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call,
Thanks.
Ed. Bye. And Ron Elving, Ed is right. The war in Iraq, if there was any chance that it would have ended up being Kerry's war, well, that's gone now. This is President Bush's war.
Indeed, and really the measure of this next Congress will come even sooner than 2008. While that will be the next presidential election, we will have congressional elections in 2006 in which Senate seats and House seats will be at stake, a third of the Senate and the entire House. And if this caller is correct and things are going to deteriorate on either the foreign front or the domestic front, the voters will have a chance to register their dissatisfaction.
Andy, was the economic issue, which was thought to be such a key element of this election, it certainly was important too. We certainly saw that in Pennsylvania, yet not as dominant as some people thought, as the caller mentioned, with the deficits and the economy being pretty soft at best.
Well, and it was more important and more dominant in Ohio than anywhere else. Yet the combination of turnout and the leadership question and the moral values question, which all broke for President Bush in a very big way, overcame that that issue in Ohio, where people were much more negative about the way things, the economy had gone over the past 4 years than they were than they were nationwide. And the country nationwide wasn't exactly sanguine about the economic record of this.
And really, the measure of this next Congress will come even sooner than 2008. While that will be the next presidential election, we will have congressional elections in 2006 in which Senate seats and House seats will be at stake, a third of the Senate and the entire House. And if this caller is correct and things are going to deteriorate on either the foreign front or the domestic front, the voters will have a chance to register their dissatisfaction.
Andy, was the economic issue, which was thought to be such a key element of this election, it certainly was important too. We certainly saw that in Pennsylvania, yet not as dominant as some people thought, as the caller mentioned, with the deficits and the economy being pretty soft at best.
Well, and it was more important and more dominant in Ohio than anywhere else. Yet the combination of turnout and the leadership question and the moral values question, which all broke for President Bush in a very big way, overcame that issue in Ohio, where people were much more negative about the way things, the economy had gone over the past 4 years than they were than they were nationwide. And the country nationwide wasn't exactly sanguine about the economic record of this administration. So, you know, a lot of this, too, you know, we have to look at the way people felt about Senator Kerry. And at no point in either the pre-election polls or these exit polls that we're looking at did we see Senator Kerry register as on the strong leader dimension, leadership dimension relative to President Bush, and many more people were comfortable with the way President Bush would deal with terrorism than the way Senator Kerry would.
Let's get a call on the Republican line. Chris is with us from Indianapolis. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Yes, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Neil, sorry about that. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, definitely a Bush supporter. Matter of fact, my wife and kids and I were all at the polls at 25 till 6 yesterday morning. And feel strongly about the fact that he was reelected and casting our vote for him.
What was the, if there was one issue that made you feel that way, what was it?
Well, Neil, being a former soldier with the 10th Mountain Division and being in the field, and having some experience with some of these situations, never been to Iraq before, but similar situations, he's a man for the job. He is a proven leader. The war's never going to go exactly as planned. There's going to be different bumps, and there's all kinds of, there's just different things that come up. No one anticipates, but he's a man for the job. To go and try to change right now would just be... It would be really tough. Mm-hmm. And like Ed's comment about direction, my wonder with Kerry was which direction is he trying to go? He would never, he didn't even act like he supported the troops, especially when it came time to vote for the package that would have given them some support. So we're definitely glad of the outcome.
Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Ron Elving, both the things that he mentioned, changing horses in midstream while troops are in the field, American voters in the past have been reluctant to do that from time to time. And that vote against the package of support for the troops, that turned out to be a key element of the Bush campaign against John Kerry.
Yes, it was just about a year ago, $87.5 billion being requested by the administration for a war that at that time was just beginning to show some signs of bogging down. It was a very unpopular bill when it first came out. People thought that number was higher than they expected. They thought it was going to be politically difficult for them. And so the bill was not terribly popular, but everyone assumed it would pass in the end. John Kerry assumed it would pass in the end, and he initially supported it. But, of course, there was political pressure on him from the peace candidate, Howard Dean, who was at that time running rings around John Kerry in Iowa and New Hampshire. And I'm sure that John Kerry had advisors telling him, if you vote for this, Howard Dean's going to decorate your electoral house with it, your political personality with it. And whether or not that was his decisive factor in deciding to vote against it, we'll possibly never know. But it certainly cost him in the general election, where the president played it like a banjo week in and week out.
Ron Elving, we're going to let you get back to your day job. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Ron Elving with us here in Studio 3A. He's NPR Senior Washington Editor. I suspect he has some work to do. Andy Koha is still with us. Joining us now is Thomas Patterson, Professor of Government and the Press at Harvard's Kennedy School. He's the author of the book, The Vanishing Voter, and he joins us by phone from his office in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Very nice of you to be with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
The Vanishing Voter returned yesterday.
Well, they did, and not quite in the numbers that we hoped for. We were looking for 120 million, but we're over 115, I think, when all the votes are counted. So in many ways, Americans did come back to the polls.
And what, to you, accounts for that?
Well, I think it's a big issue election. I think Iraq was the issue that really stirred the drink. We didn't see a real surge in the 2002 midterms, so 9/11 and the war on terrorism, I don't think, was the galvanizing force. And then we saw the energy in the Dean campaign coming out of the Iraq conflict, and that carried into the Democratic primaries. And then with those reports in the spring, 9/11 Commission and Richard Clark and others, that seemed to be the issue that really stirred Americans up. I mean, there were a lot of other things out there. A weak economy always helps a little bit in terms of getting people involved. But Iraq seemed to be the driver. That's what people, according to our polls at least, were talking the most about, even though, as many people said, something about the economy was as important to them as Iraq. But those who were concerned about Iraq seemed to be more deeply engaged in the election. And certainly on college campuses, where we saw more interest in the election than any time, I think, since 1968 and 1972. That was the issue that was foremost on many students' mind.
As we look at how those issues broke, though, those who said the economy was most important to them went overwhelmingly for Senator Kerry. The same for those who said Iraq was the most important issue for them. Other way around on the war on terrorism and moral values. What explains to you how the conservatives got so many new people to the polls?
Well, I think the conservatives and Karl Rove particularly went to school on what the Democrats did in 2000. You know, I think Republicans felt quite comfortable going into Election Day 2000 and then ran into the brunt of the Democratic Get Out the Vote campaign. And the Democrats, had, even Republicans admit, did a much better job in the battleground states in 2000 in mobilizing voters. And Republicans worked on that strategy in the 2002 midterms, and I think really did quite well this time. And I think we saw maybe it broke half and half. I mean, it was so effective on both sides. Maybe they ended up canceling each other. But I think we're back to a type of campaigning, at least when it's as close as the last two elections have been, where we're going to see almost as much emphasis on turnout as we are on campaign ads and the other things that are aimed primarily at persuading people to move from one camp to the other.
And Andy Kohut, go.
Well, I agree with Tom Patterson. I would add that while both campaigns did a very good job on the Republican side, the Christian conservatives played an important role in this, but also Republicans, whether they're Christian conservatives or other stripes of Republicans, are better voters, and it's they vote more regularly, they vote more habitually than Democrats, and in a bare knuckled fight where all other things are being equal, this factor is not equal. And I think one of the things we want to find out from these exit polls is what can we guess about the turnout rates among the Christian conservative wing of the Republican Party and the other wings of the Republican Party. We really don't know. We're speculating right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another caller on the line. Wendy is with us from Williamsburg, Iowa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I'm one of the returning voters who's vanishing, which may be the opposite of what you've been talking about this morning, but I'll try to hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems I think that the Democrats have had is maybe in letting the media, including this show this morning and pollsters and others, use moral values as synonymous with the Bush people. And it's almost as though, oh, you voted on moral values? Okay, we'll click you into this column. Now, that's our own problem, I think, maybe as Democrats, for not tying the moral issues to our positions, but I think it is amplified and carried forward by the media and by polls, so that we haven't maybe talked strongly enough about ignoring the health needs of disenfranchised people as being immoral, or lying about the information that was used to take us into Iraq as being immoral, or when weighing very difficult issues like the rights of a four-celled organism versus the rights of a human being encountering an assault weapon. Which of those is an immoral choice?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if somebody asked me coming out of the poll, are moral issues most important to me? Yes, they are. I think they would assume something after that.
Andy Kohut, is the way Wendy is describing it, the way the polls work, if you hear someone say moral issues are most important to me, you assume they're Republican?
Well, I think that, as I think I said a little bit earlier, I think that the phrase moral values almost has a code quality to it, and that's why the Republicans so overwhelmingly were so much more likely to choose moral values as an issue that they said was important to them versus other issues.
Code for abortion, gay marriage.
Code for abortion, gay marriage, and you know, a whole cluster of things. And I will say it again. I think that if we had a different kind of definition or a variety of definitions of morality in that question, we might have gotten different responses, and my guess is that they would not have been anywhere near as high as what we got in that one category. And but we'll wait and see for other research to find out whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We just have a little bit of time left in this segment, Thomas Patterson, but can you tell us briefly about the youth vote yesterday?
Well, again, I think I would say something that Andy just indicated. We still are waiting for a lot of the data to come in, but you know, we had about a 17% turnout among people, 29 and younger. That's up from 2000. There seemed to be a lot more interest in this election on the part of the youth. But I would add to that what we're seeing among the youth is a real split between those who've been who are in college or who have been to college, and those who have not. And we're getting we got a good response from the college educated to this election. And I think when the numbers are finally available, we'll probably have had a pretty good turnout among that group. The voters that we've lost over time are the non-college educated, lower income. They've been a large part of the story of the vanishing voter over the last 30 or 40 years.
Thomas Patterson, thank you very much.
It would indicate it was otherwise this time.
Thomas Patterson, a professor of government at press at Harvard's Kennedy School. We thank him for his time. Andy Kohut, it's been a long day for you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Neil.
More after a break. This is special coverage from NPR News.